Welcome to Confessional. I'm Kayla Shelton, along with Mike Moran.
Tell us your deepest, your creepiest, your darkest. Confess to us. We won't tell.
So you can tell us anything. No one's listening.
Today's confessional. Personal Ghost Stories, Part 2.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the confessional. My name is Mike Moran, and I am joined today by guest co-host, Drea.
Hello, family.
Do you want me to say your last name or no? All right, you got to hold the mic up
there
when you're talking. That's rule number one.
Kissing distance, I'm sorry.
Drea is a good friend of mine. She was an integral part of the radio show that I was involved with. I guess it's been like 2 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I miss it so much.
I know. We had so much fun with that. I got to be on the radio for a while, you guys. That was really bizarre, but it was a lot of fun.
But it was awesome. Like, yeah. You did really, really, really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that was a great experience. And it was cool. We were on an AM station, and so we made the most ridiculous show that we possibly could right in the middle of the afternoon. And apparently they didn't appreciate that too much on AM radio.
It might have been building the furniture.
Yeah, there was. Drea brought us a chair in to build. That was a great time, though. How long did that last? Maybe like 6 months or so? 4 or 5 months?
Just about that, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like from summer until Christmas.
So, yeah.
But
I miss it.
Me too.
It made my workday go faster. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, Drea will be sitting in for Kayla today, who's still on hiatus. She's got to work on some things. She's just busy. We don't hate each other or anything, if anyone's wondering. And, of course, we have our producer in the house, Mr. Jimmy Sulisky.
Sulisky. Nice pronunciation, dude. That sounds cool.
From the... live from the
live
studio podcast.
Yes, emphasis as Jimmy Sulisky, live from the studio podcast. Mm. Not much going on. I watched Starsky and Hutch last night. It just came
Did
on Netflix.
Did you really?
Yes, dude. I feel like America forgot how good of a show that was.
I've never seen it once.
I mean,
I'm not even
movie.
Sure what it is, really.
It was like
Are you kidding me?
It's like a cop show from the 70s or something.
You've never watched an episode of Starsky and Hutch.
Never.
But I didn't watch the show. Remember they made the remake, the movie with Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell was in it. Snoop Dogg was in it.
Yes.
It was so funny, dude. I used to watch when I was a kid, and then it came on Netflix. I was like, I'm watching this. And it stood the test of time, dude.
Really?
It's a quintessential Stiller, Vaughn, Wilson era.
Oh, so you're talking about the remake.
I'm talking about the remake. I never watched the show.
Is that like a nostalgic era for you now? Like that 2000s Will Ferrell kind of era?
You made a Facebook post about the other day. You said, when do you think 2000s nostalgia is going to hit, and what will it be? I'm telling you, for people my age, I'll be 27 next month.
Uh-huh.
The early 2000s nostalgia of like the emo pop punk, the Blink 182, and Avril Lavigne, and all that, like Newfound Glory and stuff. That's hitting. That's it.
Okay.
That's
it. Okay.
For sure.
That really makes me feel
But old. It's interesting because, you know, in the 90s, apparently the nostalgia was all for the 70s. You know, which explains that 70s show, probably.
Right, yeah.
And why they made Starsky and Hutch in 04.
Yeah, there was a big 70s nostalgia in the night. Like the Black Crowes and, you know, like the Bell Bottoms and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the 80s nostalgia is just getting over with. I think it's hitting the, you know, they just made
all
the Bandersnatch on Black Mirror.
Right.
They just got Stranger Things.
Right.
It came back. I think 90s nostalgia is, I think it's kind of already here.
Yeah.
No, 90s nostalgia is definitely here, and into the early 2000s, like some of the emo nights at Autobar that they do.
Uh-huh.
Those are huge.
They're immense.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just thinking that we're going to start hearing Linkin Park on classic rock stations soon.
Oh, my God. I'm so old. Jimmy, where can listeners find Confessional online to participate if they would like to?
Yes, if you'd like your confessional to be read and discussed poorly on this podcast, please submit... Your stories to facebook.com/confessionalpodcasts. We got the one and only confessional podcast URL. You can also hear us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts? Is there an Apple Podcast?
I think so.
I can't remember how they rearranged it.
It's on everything.
There's podcasts within Apple Music, right?
Yeah. If you type in confessional podcasts, that's us. That's us. And
you forgot
to
mention our Myspace page.
Yes.
Speaking of 2000s and stuff.
Yeah, MySpace.
I actually logged into my MySpace page the other day.
I was thinking about doing that.
It was hilarious.
There was a recent, I believe there was a recent kind of lawsuit or something that forced MySpace to delete like most of their accounts.
What?
Because they had like all these accounts from like 15 years ago that they just had people's information. It was just like, I don't know.
Isn't that just called the internet? Like, isn't that how the internet works?
Hey, dude, I didn't start the lawsuit, pal.
And what information are they going to possibly get from me from my MySpace account? What kind of pimping I enjoy on my page?
It seems you like rotating skulls.
so you're a fan of Weird Al's White and Nerdy. We got you.
We got you, pal.
And, of course, our guest today, another good friend of mine, a staple around the Baltimore creative world. This fella does all sorts of stuff, comic books, DJing, karaoke nights, a bunch of more things he'll tell us about. Please welcome Pat Stork.
Hello. How's it going?
Thanks for coming, buddy. What are you working on these days?
Right now, mainly doing the trivia nights and the karaoke nights, working on some personal projects, so nothing to promote too heavy.
So no comic books right now?
Right now, unfortunately, a lot of the licensing switched companies, and I'm trying to get back into it, but in the past, I've done Disney Princesses and Toy Story and a bunch of Pixar books. The crown jewel was...
How big a fan was Michael Jackson of your comic books, personally?
He was dead before I started, sadly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see him almost having a collection in his Neverland.
I can see that. He might not have gotten some of the jokes. I don't know that he was as pop culture savvy, because I would try and work in a bunch of stuff. Like on one of the Madagascar books that I worked on, I had an entire full page homage to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Really?
Yeah. And I was expecting the editors to see it and say, absolutely not. And the note that I got back was, nice.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. You just did the writing, right?
Yeah. I did the writing. I'm a terrible artist. I actually...
That's still really cool that you... written for all those.
Yeah. At San Diego Comic-Con one year, I was on a panel that was mostly artists and then me as the writer, and it was moderated by the guy who created Darkwing Duck. And so there's a Q&A going on, and all the artists are doing sketches for the crowd, and they're very quiet.
And you're writing storyboards for them.
Yeah, I was like, I can do dialogue, or I can try and do a sketch or something. They had like a projector over, a camera over top, so you could see the sketches everyone was doing. And at the ends, they raffled off the sketches. And I was doing a lot more of the Q&A side of things, because I was more verbose. And it gets to the end, and they're drawing the numbers for the sketches, and mine comes up, and two numbers were picked, and nobody raised their hand. And he's like, just so you know, we don't repick numbers, so if you won this one, you're not going to have a chance at winning one of the other ones. And somebody reluctantly raised their hand.
Huh.
Like, oh, God, it's free, and this crowd does not want my drawing.
Oh, man.
It was like, I'll put painful. Some dialogue
kinda,
on it.
Kind of like this podcast, really. I mean, it's free, you know?
Yeah. But
what do you think about that, Drea? You read comic books?
I haven't in forever.
Well, today, Drea, what are we discussing?
We are discussing ghost stories.
Yes, we are.
Personal ghost stories.
Personal ghost stories. Real ghost stories.
Exactly.
If ghosts exist. Yeah. But it's the people's actual experience with ghosts.
With the paranormal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm in this weird place because I definitely believe ghosts exist because of way too many experiences.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also as close to an atheist as you can get without being able to prove an absolute zero.
Sure.
Like, I still have to stay scientific.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what ghosts are. Like, I think when we die, we just go away.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've seen some shit.
Right.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
I think that's everybody's, like, hiccup when you talk about ghosts or the paranormal.
It has to be dead people.
Well, I'm not going to say it has to be dead people, but I think, like you're saying, an atheist, you know, somebody that doesn't believe that, you know, we go to the spirit in the sky or whatever the case might be.
Uh-huh.
I think people get hung up on the fact of what exactly is a ghost? What is a paranormal experience? Is it our subconscious? You know, is it that part of the brain that we don't really use manifesting
itself?
That's why
it's fascinating to me, because I don't necessarily believe in ghosts. I maybe do. I really can't say either way. But it's certainly very fascinating that so many humans have that experience.
Right.
Yeah. So there's got to be something, whether it's a psychological phenomenon or whatever it
is. And whether a person wants to even admit that they've had an experience or not, it's still there.
Right.
It's something that almost every walk of life has
experienced. Yeah, like different cultures have.
And we all experience it.
Yeah, all
together.
Around the world, I mean, through cultures you know, completely disconnected from each other, they all have stories about this kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to our first confession. This is from Heather Hahn Hagstrom, Sarasota, Florida.
Florida house.
When I was in fourth grade, we lived in this house for a year that always seemed a bit off. I remember it always seemed kind of gloomy, no matter how many lights were on or how bright it was outside. One day while my parents were out, I was home with my sister and my friend Stacy. Nothing good comes from a friend named Stacy when you're in jail.
Stacy's running the attic.
My sister went next door to her friend's house and left us to play. We were happily playing with Barbies, and after a while, we decided to go outside. After a bit, I went inside to get something from my room, and in my horror, I saw all the horses had been moved, all the Barbie horses had been moved to various places around my room and not where we had left them. I searched the house for my sister, but she was still at her friend's. Stacy and I decided to line the horses up in a line to see if that would happen again, and we went back out on the front porch. When we came in, the horses had been moved all around the room again. We set up a couple more times, and every time we came back, they moved. My sister swears to this day she wasn't at home and never touched a thing. Also, during this year, I remember having vivid dreams that haunt me to this day of a father that had murdered his wife and son in the house. There were many nights I remember laying in bed and the closet door would open on its own, and other times it felt like someone was sitting at the end of my bed or hovering right above my face, yet no one was there. I've tried to find out if indeed there had been a murder in the house, but I haven't heard it, been able to find anything. Those memories of that house still remain crystal clear in my mind and still scare me to death. Everything about that is horrifying.
Everything about that is horrific.
Yeah.
Well, the horses remind me, a very good friend of mine, we actually had a shared ghost experience, but her house that she grew up in was haunted by Mrs. Ferguson, the woman who had owned the house before.
Right.
Like,
right.
And her husband had like renovated the house, built the back porch into a kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And then the husband passed away. She wanted to move to a smaller place, sold it to
the
family.
Okay.
You know, and every year when they would come back from midnight mass, all of the wise men would be turned away from the baby Jesus on on the mantle. And everybody assumed it was somebody else, and everybody thought it was a prank. But nobody ever fessed up to it.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, just every year they lived there, they would go to midnight mass for Christmas.
Wow.
And they'd come home, and the three wise men would be turned around.
Maybe when she died, she met the wise men and realized they were assholes, and that was her protest.
Yeah. What kind of a gift is myrrh? Myrrh for a baby.
Right,
what does a baby want with myrrh?
Frankincense.
And they even
unless they're incense that smell like hot dogs, I want nothing to do with frankincense.
But then again, like back in those days, like what are you really? You're not really giving a gift to a baby.
That's
giving
true.
It to the parents, because what is the kid gonna do with frankincense or gold?
Well,
or,
good point.
I mean, the gold.
I mean,
gold. You can buy things with gold.
But the baby can't.
That guy definitely was a hit of the birthday. But the guy who brought gold, he definitely won.
He's the one that's invited at all times.
The other guys were like, come on, I thought we were
like,
bringing perfume.
We
you came with gold,
limit.
Man. We agreed on a spending limit.
There's always that one that goes above and beyond.
I got an Amazon gift card for $5.
I don't even know what myrrh is.
Yeah, and like, I've been to baby showers and never once, like, you get diapers. You get
zero myrrh.
Zero myrrh, zero frankincense. It's just not a baby shower gift.
It really isn't. What are your thoughts on that story, Drea? Creepy as hell?
Yes. That's
I would want to know if she has
definitely odd.
Uh-huh. I'd want to know if she has other terrifying stories like
probably
that. That's pretty... I mean, that's almost like, you know...
Colin said it sounds like an intelligent haunt with them moving things, but nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. Well, moving horses on their own, or I'm going to be afraid of them no matter what.
Anything moving that I haven't moved or that a person I know hasn't moved is a little...
Yeah.
But, I mean, just as long as they're not scratching me or trying to choke me out in my sleep, I'm
good.
Yeah.
If you're awake, it's fine, but in your sleep.
Right.
I do remember this graveyard that we used to smoke a little marijuana at back in the 90s when that
the
was
devil's lettuce.
Yeah, and or actually we kind of walk through it and then smoke and then walk back again, and it would be terrifying at, you know, every time. And one time an angel statue was like turned around the other way.
Graveyards are creepy. I avoid graveyards.
No. But I think someone, they just decided to turn it for some reason.
just to be a dick.
Well, it wasn't like while we were there. It was like, you know.
Oh, so somebody had turned it.
Yeah,
and
my friend like
gotcha.
And I witnessed like total denial there where he convinced himself that it was always facing that way because he was so freaked out by it.
Yeah.
Your mind
and
will do that to you,
too. Always pointing straight at him the entire time he walked.
And the cement eyes just followed him as you guys walk through it.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, Pat, let's get to your ghost story, my friend.
Well, it's kind of a, I guess, a montage, maybe. So the big ones, like, I've lived in places that were haunted. I've had ghost stories since I was little.
Uh-huh.
Where I live now, I'm pretty sure there's a cat ghost because I feel a cat jump on my bed when my cat's already on my bed.
Cat ghosts, very popular.
They are.
Like, yeah, they're
they
like,
are.
Yeah, and my cat and I will both like, okay, a cat just jumped on the bed. We felt it jump up, but... Yeah.
Right.
But
weird thing about that, though, and I know this has been pointed out before, that it's like... It might just be a cat, you know. Like,
well, that's the thing is,
ghost cats act a lot, just like regular cats.
Yeah, but like, this happened before I had a cat.
Right. Okay.
And my cat will react to something else in the room pretty regularly.
Sure.
But now the biggest one was I worked at a movie theater on the eastern side of Baltimore, the North Point Movie Theater.
Okay.
It's been torn down. It's now a Walmart.
All right.
Nice. Which is scarier.
Indeed, especially at North Point.
But I started working there, and I got the tour of, okay, well, here's the stock room, and, you know, theater one, theater two, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's the projection booth, and, you know, here's all our payroll procedures. And, by the way, the place is haunted. Her name is Liz. Anyway, over here is where we keep the popcorn.
Always make sure the oil is refilled and hot.
Mm-hmm.
So a ghost named Liz.
Yeah.
First of all, what ghost is named Liz? That's like an 80s girl name.
Well, right.
It should be like
died.
Elizabetha or something.
Yeah. No, it was her name was Elizabeth, and because there had been enough things well before I got there, some of the staff looked into local papers and found out that a girl had hung herself up in our projection booth.
What?
Like somewhere like late 70s, early 80s. And
so the movie just kept going after it was done then?
Basically, yeah.
Wow. This poor theater goer. Yeah. Was she a projectionist?
No, she was an employee, but I don't know if she was ever a projectionist, but she had hung
then
herself.
Then what was she doing in the projection booth? Sorry, continue.
Anyone can get up there. Like, we kept stuff up there, and there were pipes that you could throw a rope over, so.
Huh.
Jeez.
Probably, yeah, if I was a projectionist,
yeah.
I feel like that room would come with a noose.
Yeah.
If you've ever worked in a movie theater, the projectionist is the coveted spot, I think.
Is it really?
If you want to be miserable, be down there with parents who are
junkie
blame
public.
You for the Twizzlers costing $7 a piece.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I know the way we ran the theater, basically anyone who wanted to be trained on projection could, because that meant somebody could go up and start the movie if we were busy.
Sure.
And, you know, if you were in the middle of something.
Right.
But I don't know how it was when she was working there. I never met her when she was alive.
I see.
So I thought it was just a hazing thing. It was just, oh, yeah.
The hanging or the ghost story?
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was just, oh, let's see what the new guy believes.
Sure.
And then I was up in the booth one time, and I heard a box pushing itself up the hallway. Then the projectors would start and stop themselves all the time.
Well, that's bad business then, isn't it?
Yeah. It was, I mean, but it was enough stuff that you kind of got used to it.
Right.
There was one time... We had had a new hire, and we were standing in the lobby just, you know, BS in between shows.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ropes popped off the stanchion in the middle of somebody's talking about their day.
What, stanchion?
Like the posts that...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, so anyway, I was down the, you know, the beach the other day, and ching, boom. Oh, hey, Liz. Anyway, I was down the beach the other day, and, like, they just keep their story going.
Sure.
The guy's like... Wait, guys, didn't you see that? Yeah, She said hi. Anyway, you were saying? Like, it was just, we were used to it
after
a while.
Yeah.
Like, you'd
sounds
see
like
her.
She was having a lot happier of a time in the afterlife than...
Sometimes, but a lot of times she just wanted to be left alone. There was one night I was closing down the theater, and I was the only one in there. And a lot of times when you'd shut down, like the power breakers were upstairs in the booth.
Right.
And when you'd come down the stairs, you could feel hands on your back, like, go, you know, just leave me alone.
Let's move it out.
Move
here
it
now.
Along. Move it along.
Come on. We're done.
And I felt the hands, so I was like, I'm going. And got to the office and got
let me ask you just real quick. Sorry to interrupt again. Did you ever try to do like the cornstarch thing where you put like cornstarch in something to see if there's a handprint?
No. I'll get to it because we didn't need to.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Because that's a creepy part of this. But yeah, I got down to the office and called some friends that I was going to hang out with. I'm like, hey, I'm on my way. Just closed down. Liz really wants me out of here. And as soon as I said that, one of the ceiling tiles just dropped onto the...
Whoa.
Yeah, just like...
Was there a high school student that fell down with it? Like?
Then I would have run screaming. But I just was like, I said I'm going. God, okay. All right, yeah, ceiling tile just dropped. I need to go. All right, I'll see you in a minute. And like on the way out, just, I'm going.
Right.
As for the handprints... One of our supervisors didn't want to sweep the lobby, and so she wrestled the manager because that's how we did things there.
She wrestled the manager.
Yeah. Who won?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who won?
She did.
Awesome.
Oh, no. We had some tough chicks that worked there.
Awesome.
Man, but glow in this.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Now that I don't work there and can't be fired for it, we didn't play by a lot of rules at that theater.
All right.
But so she wrestled the manager. So.
You're not going to tell us what?
What?
You're outside of the illegal wrestling rings. What else? What other rules were being broken there?
Every last one.
That's a whole other confessional. there was one day where we basically played strip poker for who had to wear what parts of your uniform.
What?
Yeah. It was.
That's kind of a rule that people are going to notice as being broken.
Oh, yeah.
If there's nudity involved with theater employees.
It was meant to be a joke until a customer showed up at the concession stand in the middle for a refill, and the one supervisor again, ran out to serve them and got behind the stand and then immediately went wide-eyed and looked back at us in the office. And we're all in hysterics because she's standing there basically in boxers and a bra, and she's like, oh, God, I'm naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds sweet, dude.
Yeah.
This whole theater could be its own podcast.
It really could.
I mean, not just an episode, but actual podcast. Yeah. Well,
besides the nudity, that sounds honestly like an awesome place to work.
Right.
It's great. Seriously, except for
outside
the
of the fact
rate.
That I'm picturing you nude except for a theater vest right now.
And his little flashlight.
And my bow tie.
And a few
stuff.
Milk duds. Tossing back. One by one.
But... So she wrestled the other manager, wound up not having to sweep the lobby.
That's how it goes.
And we're all hanging out in the office. And she starts getting upset and like yelling at the manager, like, you asshole, you bit me. He's like, when did I bite you? When we were wrestling. You didn't feel me bite you. Like, I didn't bite you.
Uh-huh.
She's like, what is this? And she shows her arm.
Right.
And there's teeth marks in it.
Wow.
And he's like, look at those teeth. You did that yourself. She's like, I did not. Like flipping out. And they're
right.
Like just, and as they're yelling at each other, one of the other employees starts slapping her on the arm. And oddly enough, her name was Stacy. I know we talked about it in the last.
Of course. Always a Stacy.
Stacy. What? Roll your arm over, and she rolls her arm over, and there's another set of teeth marks going into her arm.
Ooh,
in
my
front
goodness.
Of all of us. We're watching the bite happen just right there.
Oh my god!
She shrieked and just
Mike
ran
Tyson
out the building.
Rules for this wrestling match.
Yeah. So she runs out of the building. Her keys are still inside, so somebody had to run out her keys so she could go home. She
wow.
She took 2 weeks off, like wasn't sure if she wanted to work there again, but needed the money.
Man.
But yeah, she got bit right in front of us. So we
you get bit by a living dead entity, I think you deserve 2 weeks off.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At least.
We did, yeah.
Right.
At least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were fine. We understood.
Sure.
But it's for some reason Liz tended to manifest more often as a, like, I mean, because they were small, like child-sized teeth marks, even though she was a teenager when she died. There was one night we all went out after work and came back to get everyone's cars. And we're looking in the front door. And the front windows was just like, God, 10, 12 foot, you know, plexiglass.
Right,
you know.
Right.
And we're looking inside, and there was basically a landing and then a short staircase, like 4 or 5 steps, and then 2 brick planters on either side, and then our concession stand. And so he's like, oh, shit, somebody's in there. And so we all kind of gather around, and we see somebody hiding behind one of the planters, and then we realize it looks like a little girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh, God, we locked a kid in there.
Oh,
shit. Wow. We are going to be in so much trouble. Like, do we call the cops? Do we, like, you know, do we go in and talk to her? Like, where are her parents?
Uh-huh.
Where are her parents? Yeah, there's no cops here, and we've been gone for a while. Like, nobody's called the cops yet. Nobody has said they're missing a kid.
Right. No one's wrestled over it.
Yeah. And so, and like, and she keeps like kind of popping out and looking at us and then like hiding again. And then we realize that the motion detector alarms that we had are on. So they're not going off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're like, okay. So technically she's not really there. But she's there.
Right.
Oh, that's Liz. Oh, okay.
You might want to check just in case, though. You know, you might want to double check if there's a child left.
Yeah, or like we did everything. We like tried to talk to her, like, you know, if if you're looking for your parents, you know, come talk to us. We work here. Still hiding. All right, I guess that's Liz.
Right.
All right. Good night, everyone. And we just nothing else we could do.
Wow.
Wow. So,
creepy.
Yeah.
That's all right.
All right, gotcha.
That happens sometimes. All right, let's get to another confession. Let's see what we got here. This one is from Ray Stratton, Olympia, Washington. Right after we moved into the house, my wife would walk me to the door in the morning and give me a kiss goodbye when I would leave for work. Our bedroom was upstairs. We walked around the banister and got about halfway down, and something screamed right above our heads. Whatever it was, it sounded like it wasn't very happy, and we were there. My wife screamed and damn near fell down the stairs. I went running back up. I didn't see anything. That was kind of the start of all the crazy stuff that followed. I had been scratched, poked, and if I would let my feet hang off the bed, my toes would get pulled on. LOL. One night, I sat up fast.
How was that funny? Sorry.
One night, I sat up fast and hit my head twice on something else's head. Jesus. But nothing was there. I felt its head hit mine. Ow. I woke my wife up to tell her about it, and as if I'm telling her what happens, I get a finger poke in the back, not unlike Liz. I'm sorry. Was that her name?
Yeah.
Okay. I started taking pics after this, and that's when I would get these orbs and other stuff. The last night we were there, I saw a shadow man out in the front yard.
Yeah, that is a whole lot of something going on.
Right, yeah. Right. A lot of creepiness here.
I don't think I'd LOL it at that. I don't think I really would LOL at any.
It might
any
be funny if they were pulling your
I
finger
have.
Like to make you fart type of thing. But
I don't need somebody to pull my finger to do that.
Right. So this one involves a lot of touching. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like most ghost stuff is like visual.
Right.
But this is he felt his head hit another person's head.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
See, that's terrifying because if you could thud your head on just thin air at any time.
Right.
You know, you rarely hear about ghosts physically messing with somebody. Right.
Unless it's like not a haunting. What is it called?
Poltergeist?
You know, like poltergeist activity,
right.
You know, things of that nature, then, I mean, that's something completely different. But
Yeah.
Pulling on toes, LOL. No. Please don't pull on my toes.
Right. Yeah.
Prefer not to be touched.
Sure.
That's crazy.
And then the shadow man in the yard.
I do not like shadow people.
I don't like the words shadow people. That just sounds terrifying.
Because it is. I've seen a lot of shadow people.
Have you
and
really?
I do not like shadow people at all.
Look, a lot of my friends are shadow people, Drea, okay? So I got most nothing against those people.
Most of mine are too, except for the creepy ones.
All right, let's get into your confession, Drea. What's your ghosty experience here?
I don't know which one to even start with.
Well, tell us about the shadow people real quick.
So it's like I'm trying to think. I could be doing something, anything really, and then you know you always have that. Not always. But, you know, when you're doing something or you're somewhere and, you know, you think you catch something out the corner of your eye.
Right, right, yeah.
And then you go to look and there's nothing there or it's a plant or, you know, the wind hits something and you're like, okay, that's right. Fine. But when you're, like, in a house by yourself and you're doing something, which is kind of what I said when I replied to your post, I'll be in the shower or something and I'll hear somebody call my name and I'll answer and I'll have a full freaking conversation with
really?
Them. Really? Then I get out the shower and I'm like...
Whoa. Where does this conversation with a shadow person go?
Just regular stuff like, hey, Drea. And I'm like, what? What do you want? Oh, do you know where this is? I'm like, no, I don't know where it's at. Huh. Okay, well, did you check this place? No, it's not there. I mean, like,
weird.
Like I'm talking to, you know, my mom or one of my kids or something like right. that. And then I'll get out the shower and I'll be like, well, did you find it? Crickets. Okay, maybe they didn't hear me. So I'll go in the back of the house. Hey, did you? There's nobody there. Then I go in every bedroom and I'm like, son of a...
Creepy.
What in the hell? So then it's like, and it's usually, of course, at night. So right. I have a, I'm not going to say overactive imagination. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. I can't do scary movies that are like psychological. So like Stir of Echoes and The Butterfly Effect, things of that nature mm-hmm. where it could semi be true.
Sure.
I can't watch sure. those because...
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I actually dated him once. But, I can't.
I think the creature from the Blue Lagoon, but that was
Blue Lagoon.
The creature from the Blue Man Group is what you're thinking.
But lost my train of thought. What the hell was I saying? No, that's just me.
You can't watch movies.
Oh yeah, that are psychological because my brain doesn't. My brain doesn't turn off, and then I see the things that they're talking about. So like, have you ever been to Rock State Park mm-hmm. up in Jarrettsville?
I don't think so.
Where the King and Queen seat is.
Not a lot about
okay.
it.
Very nice. So yeah, it is, nice. It's very picturesque. There's, you know, creeks and streams that run through it. There's a lot of people that'll go tubing. I can't drive through there. Ever since I was younger. So, like I told you before, there's old folklore that the seventh child of a seventh child has the gift of sight.
Yeah, Iron Maiden album.
So I am the seventh child of a seventh child. And ever since I was younger, it was, you know, my parents would be like, oh, it's just a nightmare. And it's like, it's not a nightmare because I'm awake. Okay, so then, you know, you got a witch riding you. I'm awake, you know. It's
a witch
not,
riding you?
Yeah. They say that, like,
that
sleep
paralysis.
That's
why people call you broomstick?
Yeah. It's one of the thoughts, like, one of the legends on sleep paralysis.
On sleep paralysis.
Right, right. Either it's a witch
you wake with
you,
a witch on you.
Or it's a demon kneeling on your chest.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's Lovecraft did a whole story. It was Pickman's Model, I think.
Hmm.
But
yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where there's like, and there was a painting of specifically of that.
That's terrifying.
Of a demon
kneeling,
kneeling
on a chest.
I knew
yeah.
people who had that
experience. Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I read that book, and I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah.
So,
but what's creepier is when you wake up and you see it.
Mm-hmm. See, I can't horrific. Fathom that. I can't like that. Really scares me to think that that could happen at any time. You know,
it's not fun when it happens.
Do you regularly have sleep paralysis?
I find that if I'm like depressed, like just about to just go postal depressed, or if I'm just really stressed, things happen more so than not. But sleep paralysis is probably 5 to 6 times a month. Where
are you serious? And it's always terrifying like
it's
that?
It's always terrifying.
Oh my goodness.
It's
I
faces.
Got nothing to complain about because that I don't know how I would live with that. If I'm waking up to demons right in my face.
And I mean it's anything, and like I was telling you about the I call them the druids because it's cloaked men.
Right.
You can it's like you can hear them chanting. I of course have absolutely no idea what they're saying. Those are kind of like my shadow men too, because I'll hear them chanting and they'll do their little
monk
thing or whatever they're right. They'll do the little thing or whatever they're
man,
doing.
That is so, I don't. Why is sleep paralysis always scary stuff? Why can't it be something
because
fun?
It's a paralysis.
Right.
I mean, you literally
paralysis
can't.
Is never
but why? Fun. Why do you see like a witch or a demon or a druid? Why don't you ever see like the Lucky Charms leprechaun or something like that or? I don't know, Screech.
Something nice. It would be nice to see something nice for a change.
Right.
Like, I can't move. I can't move anything about me. But there's a puppy.
Yeah. Why not?
That would be nice, though, instead
of... We should talk to someone at Sleep Paralysis and see if we can make these changes. I feel like it'd be a lot more popular.
Maybe like hypnotic suggestions this... so that, okay, if you wake up, you're going to
see... That could probably be a thing, couldn't it? Is that what that's called? Hypnotic suggestions?
Hypnotic suggestion.
Is that like part of therapy for sleep paralysis?
I have no idea. I just deal with it.
Why?
Why? Because this
demons literally coming after me all the time,
I don't know that therapy helps that.
Right.
There's got to be something for sleep paralysis, no?
Not that I've ever heard of. Have you?
No. I mean, there's studies on it, but I haven't really been able to figure much out on it.
I mean, literally since I was younger, I had a sleep paralysis. I can't swim. I've never learned how to swim.
Big surprise.
Shut up, Mikey. But... all my siblings know how to swim. I'm just the only one. You think I would be able to float like a rock, but holes in it. But anyway, my terrifying death is either going up in flames or drowning. Like, I don't want to shoot me in the head, strangle me. I don't want to drown, and I don't want to burn.
Right.
So I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I'm laying in my bed, and I hear water running. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm nowhere near the sink. Like, what's going on? And the only thing I could do was open up my eyes. And I'm staring at the ceiling. And I'm like, okay, why do I still hear water? And I look over. And there's water pouring in under my bedroom door. And I'm just like, oh, I got to get up. And I can't move.
Ah, like the Titanic.
All. Yes. And I'm just laying there going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the water gets up to my bed.
Oh,
and I'm just sitting there. I can't scream.
Oh.
I can't do anything. And
well, we got to have you back as a guest on the next sleep paralysis episode.
Okay.
Because we had one, I think. Didn't we, Jimmy?
Yes.
Or have we just discussed sleep paralysis?
I think we may have discussed it.
Oh, okay. We haven't had an official one? All right. Well, we'll
have
you as
a
guest
episode,
on the sleep paralysis one. Sounds like you got some stories. But tell us a little bit more about your ghost experiences.
So I see my dad quite often. Mm-hmm. I see my aunt quite often. They've been gone 14 and 15 years. Mm. The most recent one is I was walking with my sister. We live in a small town called Havdy Grace. And it's pretty quaint.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going on there but ducks and old
wooden
people.
Duck festival every year.
Right, because we're the duck decoy capital of the world.
There's Laurel's right there, right?
Laurel?
No?
Yeah, Havdy Grace is
like
north.
Oh, okay.
It's near Delaware.
Oh.
We're like 15, 30 minutes away from Delaware. So because we're both fat bitches, we like to walk in the evening because it's cooler. So we go for our walks. And, you know, the more you walk, you get more stamina. You can go further. So we were like, hey, why don't we just go walk downtown, Havdy Grace, and then cut back up and come home. So we're walking, and we both carry knives with us wherever we go at all times. So we're walking, and then you just kind of get a sense of foreboding. So I put my hand in my pocket, and I open up my knife, and we're still just walking.
Uh-huh.
Well, I noticed that she had done the same thing. And I'm like, okay. So then we walk to this intersection that's directly in downtown Havdy Grace, and there's two lights up on post.
Right.
And the light in front of us starts blinking like really, 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 really fast. Ooh. And we're like, oh, okay.
Turns into an impromptu rave.
Basically, like if either one of us,
you do like the knife dance from Beat It.
Right. Kinda, and then swirl around.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God, we probably would have fallen on our asses. But I'm like, hey, I'm not feeling walking this way. And she said, you know, me either, but I didn't want to say anything. So there's a bench right there. So we sat on the bench, and then this light just starts going crazy.
Oh, my God.
And as we look up, there's another light across the street that it's going in time with it.
Ooh,
so
weird.
It's two across from each other.
Caesar,
then we look up, and we notice that there's this truck that's going, I mean, just uber slow. I mean, it's only 25 miles, but he was going like 5.
Uh-huh.
So he pulls out of the intersection, and he's driving in the direction that we were walking.
Uh-huh.
And he stops. Doesn't put his car in park, doesn't put his car in reverse. He's just sitting there with his foot on the brake.
Wow.
And then the light again starts going spastic, but it's getting brighter as it's doing it.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, you know what? We're not going to walk this way just because we're both feeling weird.
I can understand that.
So we turn and we go up and we're talking to each other in a way that we can still see kind of behind us without making it obvious. And you see the driver's side window go down and a head kind of peek out. And then you see the window go back up.
Right.
And then he pulls out going really slow when he turns the corner.
Uh-huh.
Which if he would have turned the other corner, he would have met us on the main thoroughfare. Right.
Uh-huh.
So we're like, Jesus Christ, you know, somebody's going to try and they would have had one hell of a time trying to get both of us in the truck. But we're like, okay. So we finally get home and I had to run home and get something. It's like 1, 2 o'clock, something like that. And I drive to my house. I pull out and I go to leave off, and my dad is standing on the front porch waving at me.
Right.
So I almost wrecked into a telephone pole.
This is well after your dad has passed.
This was 3 months ago. Okay. So I slam on my brakes in the middle of the street.
Right.
Do a U-turn. I come back. He's still standing there, but as I pull in, he dissipates.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm shaking like, oh, my God, what is going on? Right. What is going on? So then I get back down to my sister's house, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I just saw Dad on the front porch. And she's like, I guess he was just telling us not to go, you know, down the street that we were going to. Or there's been times where I've been asleep and something. So I got a dog. Mm-hmm. Crazy people everywhere. You know, somebody rattling a door handle or something like that. Sure. But like if it's something, I don't even know how to explain it. It'll be like somebody's tapping my shoulder like, hey, you need to wake up and go check this out. Or my bed will depress, you know, like a 250-pound man is sitting on it and he'll pat my back like, you know, everything's going to be okay. Or there's been times where I've just been completely out of it, like I don't know what to do. And I look up and he's standing in my doorway smiling at me.
Nice.
It's creepy as hell.
It's got to be comforting.
But it is comforting. Sure. It's just those moments of when you see the creepy little girl with no face.
Right, right.
In your closet.
Yeah.
Those are the ones where you're just like, so I'm just going to go ahead and close my eyes again.
Right, right.
And I'm going to turn over.
Yeah.
And pretend like she's not there.
Sure.
Or the dog barking in the corner.
Right.
You know, you can't get her to stop. And it's like, well, what do you see? And then you look over and you kind of see what she sees. And you're like, oh, fuck that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just... But it's just, it's happened to me since I was little. Oh, and so like I was staying at Rock State Park. There's been, it's Indian ground.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the Indians, but it's all Indian ground. And my grandmother has a church up there through that you got to drive through Rock State Park. And
she has a church?
She attends a church.
Okay.
But as soon as I hit Rock State Park,
uh-huh.
It's almost like there's an elephant sitting on me. So when I was younger, I would actually sit in the floorboard of the car with my head face down until we drove through it.
Weird.
And then I was fine. And like the road to Rocks is like this. It's 20 and 25 miles an hour. If I have to drive through there, I'm doing 50. And I don't care.
And you can feel it?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's so crazy.
Why Rock Street Park, you think?
Well,
Rock Creek Park.
There's stories of like, because my mother grew up in the area of dumping bodies, people falling off and committing suicide from the king and queen seat.
Oh,
there was once where there was actually been like two or three cops that had killed people and dumped the bodies there.
Oh my goodness.
So it's just, it's like I can feel just the foreboding, just the heaviness
of the
spirits
the
that are there.
Yeah.
But it's so vast, and I mean, like I said, it's Indian ground. So I mean, anything and everything could have happened there.
Right.
So it freaks me.
Wow. Wow.
I've got and it's not a ghost one, but a premonition story sort of. There was, do you know where Pierce's plantation is? Yeah. It was up. It's up Delaney Valley Road-ish.
Huh. I don't think I know it.
It's up like above the reservoir, but there was a stretch of road that I had a dream one night because I lived out in Glen Arm and I was working at the movie theater in Timonium because I've worked at a lot of movie theaters.
Sure.
And I was driving home one night in my dream and I went around the corner. It's a really sharp turn.
Uh-huh.
And I had this dream that I went around that corner and my car started to skid out of control and I saw truck headlights coming straight at
me
because I slid into the wrong lane. And in the dream, the last thing I thought was, this is what I saw, and then I woke up.
Oh my God.
So I had this dream for years and I always had this general sense that I wasn't going to live to be 21.
Wow.
And every time I drove over that spot, I got those goose shivers.
Right, right.
And one night, like I'd get them even in anticipation of it. One night I'm driving home from there, and I hadn't lived out in my parents' house in a while, but I was moved between places, and I was going out that way. And I come around that corner, and I don't get the shivers. But as I go around the corner, the car starts to slide, and I see truck headlights, and I'm sliding into that lane. And I start to think, this is... And as soon as I got halfway through the thought, I just yanked the wheel as hard as I could to the right. Went off the side of the road. The truck missed me by inches. Car stalled out. Got back on the, you know, started it back up. Got onto the road. Got home. But I narrowly missed being completely flattened by this truck, and I had been seeing it in my dreams for literally years.
Did you have it afterward, the dream?
Never had the dream again, never had the feeling again. It just...
That's crazy.
I literally had seen my death multiple times.
And you think because you were like more attentive that one time that it did happen, you were able to...
Yeah.
More cognizant of it because you knew what was coming.
Yeah,
because, I mean, it was a weird thing in a dream to think that's what I saw.
Sure.
Except that it was the premonition. So when I got halfway through, I just like, you know, fuck this. And
Yeah. Wow.
I hate reoccurring dreams, though, especially when they're like ominous dreams like that.
Right.
I absolutely
I really
hate
them.
No, I mean, I understand that. But like, you know, the dreams of, like I said, blowing up in a, you know, in a fire or
falling
or something like that has, but real quick, has any, so you know how they used to say that if you dream that you're falling and if you hit the ground, you die or something like that.
No, I've hit the ground.
I used to make, can anybody change their dreams? And I know this sounds crazy, but as I've gotten older, I will know I'm dreaming in certain instances and keep myself in a dream state just to see what happens.
Yeah, me too.
Unless it's something creepy, and then I can't get the hell out of
it. It's more interesting.
If I realize it's a dream and it's something creepy, sometimes I write it out just for story ideas. Like, this is
No, sometimes
me
I get
out.
Jokes
this
from
good.
You. All right, this one is from our friend Colin McGuinn from Dover, Pennsylvania. I'm sorry, McGinn. How do you pronounce McGuinn? Sorry,
McGuinn.
Colin.
McGuinn.
He's McGuinn.
McGuinn.
I would think McGuinn, but if we're wrong.
From Dover, Pennsylvania. Of course, he wants us to let our listeners know he's from the Baltimore, Washington Paranormal. And I think I'm about to start my own paranormal documentary to show people what being an investigator really means and what all goes into an investigation and why I do what I do, which is to help those families and businesses in need of my services, because I know what it's like to have paranormal activity around me all my life because I've had things follow me and my family, including my mother since she was little and my siblings. I guess being a paranormal investigator, I'll be honest, I don't get scared much, but I have to say the scariest thing I've come to see would be when we had an investigation in Severn years ago, and a teammate and I were in a room where we were both sitting on opposite sides where we could see each other. All of a sudden, we both heard a loud growl come to the center of the room, and then I was scratched pretty badly, which I wasn't scared more than I was caught off guard. I was worried for the family who owned the hole and left the house after so many experiences and then couldn't, it must have been home, and couldn't sell it due to the activity. But after the growl and being scratched, having whatever was at that house follow me to my family, which of course had happened before, but for a few days after we had some bad luck in the family and had a death in the family, until this day I always wonder if it was due to the investigation. To this day, every now and then at the other investigations, we hear the same growl, and I think that it is something that has attached to me and has followed me to other cases because besides that, we have had some of the same voices at multiple investigations that we hear on our recorders during analysis.
I've heard of that.
Growling?
Yeah, well, you know, entities following you. That's why
that's
a lot
terrifying.
Of people are like, you know, you need to close the circle.
Haunted,
as
people can be haunted as well.
Oh, completely. Right. Completely.
Yeah. And that's why, like, again, I don't know what ghosts are, but I think that there's a difference between ghosts and other things that follow.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Like supernaturally things that follow?
Yeah.
So you're saying there's multiple types of beings in this?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not sure there's an afterlife. Like, part of me thinks that ghosts are almost like an imprint of a person who went through a routine enough times, was at a place or made it, like some sort of kind of a, when you try and tape over a tape.
So you're saying the thing that I do the most routinely is what I'm going to be imprinted on this world after I die?
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. This is going to be really embarrassing.
I'm sure there's a lot of, fapping ghosts out there. But no, like, I mean, you know, you have, you know, somebody went to the same theater all the time or went to same, you know, whatever. There was a story a friend of mine had from going to College Park. There was this guy who wanted to go to school there his whole life. He was finally, like, in his old age going there, and it was his dream, so he would spend all of his time at
college. You're recounting the plot of Rudy, Pat.
Well, except that he died.
Oh.
And Rudy...
died?
No,
Rudy didn't die?
It's been a while.
You're thinking of Thelma and Louise.
Oh, right.
Rudy's just fine. Yeah. I waited on him once.
Yeah, but then people saw this guy after he died at the library all the time.
Wow.
So it was like he made the imprint because it was, you know.
That's what he loved to do.
What he did.
That's what he was. Yeah.
So you might have stuff like that because of that's the imprint of the person or the personality or whatever.
I just feel like that could be really embarrassing. Like if some guy just shows up at Wendy's three times a day, you know.
Yeah, and then Wendy's is haunted, but who can tell?
There was one time I was with an ex-boyfriend, and his mother had just bought this house. We were upstairs in the attic doing something. I can't even freaking remember. But they bought it from a Catholic family.
Uh-huh.
And there was crucifixes at the entrance of every door jamb. Mm-hmm. Really
right,
cute,
right.
You know, whatever. And we were over there. It was a cookout. So we're walking through, and one of the crucifixes fell off and hit me in my head.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, well, that's nice. So I
that's
just,
good luck, I
right,
think.
Right. So I just, you
just
know.
Jesus kissing you.
Right.
Jesus kissing we call.
So I went and I tacked it back up. Crucifix. And I'm like, hey, Ma, you know, the crucifix fell, but I put it back up.
Uh-huh.
So I come back in about a half an hour later, except for this time it not being on the ground. It's turned upside down. And I'm like, yeah, not touching that. I'm just going to keep on walking. So I went upstairs, and I'm sitting there, and I'm smoking, and his sister comes up the steps, and I turn my head to say something to her, and she stops, and she's white as a sheet, and I'm like, well, what is your issue? And she just starts pointing while I look over, and there is a shadow person in a top hat just kind of standing there, and I'm like, you son of a bitch, like, thank you. So I'm like, ignore it.
Right.
We're going to pretend like it's not here, because sometimes it's just the best thing you can do.
Sure.
So then I start talking to her, and she's like, you know, just nope stuff out, walks back down the steps. I'm finishing my cigarette, of course. So I'm sitting there finishing my cigarette. I go to put the cigarette out because it's literally the ashtrays right here. Mm-hmm. As I go to do this, and I'm sitting on a mattress that's up there in the middle of the mattress. So as I go to do this, the ashtray literally comes up, flips in the middle of the floor.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going... And I just yell, there was a cherry in that, you stupid fucker. And everybody's like, who are you yelling at? And I'm like, I don't know who I'm yelling at, but whoever the hell it was just burned the carpet.
Right.
So I get up and I pick up the ashes. I put it on the dresser that was upstairs, and I go downstairs. Come back up to smoke another cigarette. The ashtray is not on the dresser anymore.
Oh,
it's back again in the middle of the floor.
Are the ashes
turned
upside down.
Oh,
my God.
Wow. Everything. And the crazy part about it is that the ashes didn't spill. Because, you know, if you have an ashtray or soda or something,
Just,
you go to throw something, everything just trails along. No, I watched this ashtray just literally go like this, turn upside down. Nothing came out of it until it hit the floor.
Weird.
And it was the same thing with the dresser. There was no ashes around it.
Wow.
Not until it hit the floor.
And
it hit it upside down. I was like, you couldn't even put it right side up in the middle of the floor. Like, why'd you have to flip it over? It's not got to clean it up again.
Man.
But it's crazy stuff like that.
Sure.
It's like no matter where I'm at, something happens.
Wow.
99% of the time, though, I just go. Hey,
it sounds like you kind of have what Cullen has, you know, just like that that energy or whatever.
Or they like to make their presence known to me, which I mean, they can kindly stop that.
Right. Apparently, they don't like me at all.
Well, I feel like, I mean, like, you know, some people have better eyesight than others. Some people have better hearing than others. And some people are more attuned to picking up on these things than others.
Right.
Some people are never going to experience it. Just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
I've got a deeper belly button than a lot of people.
That might be it.
That's one thing I have going.
So your paranormal just sucks into your belly button?
It just sucks. Just here. Guys, this has been an amazing episode. Drea. Thank you so much for co-hosting.
It's a pleasure as always.
Pat, thank you so much for coming by and guesting. Awesome story, guys. Jimmy, thank you for producing.
Always.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Confessional again. If you want to participate, come see us on Facebook. And we will see you next time. Thank you. Bye.